Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, 95.1, The One FM, and of course 1080 AM for nearly 50 years, broadcasting live from downtown Northfield, Minnesota on this Thursday, the 24th day of May, and the year is 2018. And I have quite a guest in studio today. I've been looking forward to this. And I'll give a shout out to Susan Vistendahl. She is the one that hooked me up with Lori Williams. But first of all, before I introduce you to Lori, I have something here that I just have to pass on to you, all right? Here's Lori's background, or at least some of it. Lori B. Williams is a band leader, professional studio, and touring musician. Williams' studio credits include several vocal tracks on two Jackson Browne records, including the title track of Brown's World in Motion album with Bonnie Raitt, playing also sax and singing backup for Helen Reddy, and touring and recording with Hoyt Oakston. I love his voice. She toured on the original Honeysuckle Rose bus and did session work for Bosephus King. She was the leader of the Lost Angels, which traveled the U.S. and opened for Arlo Guthrie, Taj Mahal, Glenn Campbell, Chris Smither, and others. Credits also include singer-songwriter and movie soundtrack recording sessions in Los Angeles, Santa Fe, and Nashville, and Pachyderm Studio over in Cannon Falls. Locally, Lori has appeared sitting in on alto sax and or keyboards, including with Ray Coudray and Bratlander Brothers, Martin Anderson and the Goods, and the Zillionaires with her good friend Wendy Smith, including at the Methodist Church in Northfield, and with Mark Regal and Ray Rusmak and Billy Gillespie and Wendy Smith at sing-alongs at Froggy Bottoms. Wow, what a background Lori Williams has. Lori, welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Good morning.
Boy, oh boy, you did bring your guitar.
I did.
And you did bring some CDs that I asked you to do.
Yes.
And you're prepared to sing about hopefully three songs in the next hour, live and in color.
Yeah. We have like 2 hours, huh?
And whose telephone would that be?
Couldn't be mine.
I would assume that it would be mine, and I think what I'm going to have to do is a call from California, and I'm going to decline the call, okay?
Okay.
There. Lori Williams, I got to tell you right now that I'm looking forward to hearing your CDs, and I'm looking forward to all the background that you have. And the name that pops in my head right now is Hoyt Axton. Now, name the songs that you were on with him and the ones that he's really famous for.
Joy to the World, and, you know, the No No song that he wrote with Ringo Starr. No, 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 I don't smoke it no more, that one.
Okay.
I toured with him, and we went up to Canada on the Honeysuckle Rose bus. I almost froze to death. The wind chill was 50 below, and that was before cell phones. And the bus lines, the gas lines were freezing. So we were in between Winnipeg and Edmonton, and the bus driver was very worried. And I was, oh, my gosh. You know, I guess I should have flown from Winnipeg to Edmonton.
So,
but we survived.
You survived. Did you have to stop at all, or did you just go on a prayer and a wing?
Well, we were already gone
okay.
before we realized what was happening.
All
so
right.
there was no turning back. So people located the mason jar of moonshine in the cupboard and had a couple swigs of that
okay.
to try to just go to sleep.
I thought perhaps you were going to use it as to clear up the gas line. Now, the other names that are on here that people recognize, Bonnie Raitt. What was your relationship with Bonnie Raitt?
Well, I don't really know Bonnie Raitt, but because I was on the same track with her on World in Motion, the title track of Jackson's record, he invited me to the studio during her recording on the same track. And so that was a hoot. She's a very funny person.
No, that
she is very hilarious to listen to.
When you explain to us that don't understand it, you were recording different sessions and then an engineer mixed them?
Yes. Yes, that's usually how it happens in the studio, unless you're a touring band and then you try to capture the band playing live, which is what I prefer because it has a much more cohesive mm-hmm. feel. Instead of someone coming in and doing their part and leaving, it's much more sterile, but that is kind of what the studio work is. You just have to go in and do your thing, and then, you know, thank you very much,
now,
off
what,
you go.
Did you harmonize, or did you play an instrument on that track?
I harmonized with Jackson's voice.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I was on the bridge, which is I was on four songs on that record. But the title track is, you know, got the most play. A little Steven had a track on there, too, that I sang on called I'm a Hero. But anyway, it was a really interesting thing to do, and Jackson's studio is fabulous.
Now, I want you to know that I'm going to get in depth in our interview, but I want to get the star part. I'm starstruck in regards to all the things that you have accomplished as a musician, and I want to get that up front so when we start chit-chatting about your life that I can associate you. Do you understand what I mean?
Okay.
Okay. You look bewildered.
Oh, terrified, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm terrified. Sure, you're performing in front of thousands of people.
Yeah, but that's different. You get up and do your thing.
All right, and your thing is something else I wanted to... Arlo Guthrie, what's the deal with Arlo Guthrie?
I was one of... I played in a music festival in New Hampshire in the summer. And there was this great lineup of musicians, Jonathan Edwards, Taj Mahal, Arlo Guthrie. So I played as one of the acts in that lineup.
You must have had a lot of fun in your life.
I had a lot of fun, yeah.
And what about Glenn Campbell? Now, Glenn Campbell, of course, passed away recently.
I know, yeah.
And I did see that, if you want to call it a movie or a documentary, about his last travel. And it touched so many hearts. It showed up over in Cannon Falls, and I don't know where I saw it, but did you have an opportunity to get to know him?
No. I just did an opening for him when he was playing. I played solo, well, actually as a duo for him when he was playing in Minneapolis a few years ago.
Okay. Now, you know that Glenn Campbell, I think, was one of the original Beach Boys, or... participated in that for a while.
No.
And there's a fellow from Northfield by the name of Johnny Westerlund. He goes by the stage name Johnny Western, and he's a great country singer.
Oh, yes, he is.
Do you know Johnny?
I've heard of him, yeah.
Okay. And so there's a connection there because he was friends with Glenn Campbell, et cetera. So there's always a connection somehow, some way.
There's always a connection.
And I have a connection to a place called the Quarterback Club here in Northfield. A good friend of mine, Dale Finger, owns that.
Yeah.
It's locally owned, locally operated, the home of the best roasted chicken you can buy. In addition to that, they serve breakfast every morning, Monday through Saturday, from 6 a.m. to 10. Have you been there?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, what's your favorite thing?
I like the burgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The special ones, they have a list of them, tell you what's on it, and you can get that and French fries and a Coke for like $7 or something.
Yeah, it's so delicious.
Yeah.
It's good.
The Quarterback Club, you always got to take care of the hometown folk. It's locally owned and locally operated. The QB, located on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield, Minnesota. My guest this morning is Lori Williams. Lori, are you living in Northfield now?
I am.
Oh, okay. And where were you born?
Chicago.
Okay. I want to introduce my listeners to your style and your talent. And would you like me to do a CD first, and or would you like to sing first? Maybe do a CD?
Whatever you want.
Okay. You mentioned you brought three of them, like I asked you to bring some. Which one do you think I should start first? Because I want people to know the talent that you have, all right?
I think Tempt Me would be good.
Okay. And
this is kind of a retro-sounding song, kind of a la The Supremes.
And what cut is it?
The first track.
Oh, the first track. Well, then I can just push a button, and away we go.
Mm-hmm. Now you say you love me, say you're thinking of me always. There's a lot that you don't know, like what's in my heart, who I really am. Wanna get to know me, well try to show me who.
That's Laurie Williams on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a song that she wrote and arranged and played and sang. By the way, I enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you.
I liked the drums solo open. I thought of a guy named Steve Paoli. Do you know Steve?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of him.
Yeah, I played with him with Marty and the Goods a little bit.
Okay. The time is 9:14, and we are talking to Laurie Williams on Kim. Now, I have been told that you play a lot of instruments. I do see that you did bring a guitar, and you intimated that that isn't the one that you're the most proficient at. And I'm thinking, how many instruments do you play?
Well, piano is my first instrument, and it's my most proficient instrument. Guitar I picked up just because it's nice to hold an instrument and walk around with it and sing it wherever, and it's just nice to sing with a guitar. But I picked up the alto saxophone, and that is my fun instrument. So I learned that when I was in college. I stole one off to college. My mother didn't want me to pick it up. I asked her if I could play it in fifth grade, and she said, no, your cheeks will puff out, and you'll look terrible. She said, girls don't play the saxophone. And I was so upset, because during the little school assembly, they had this, big reveal of all the instruments that you might want to play, trying to get people hyped up for band and orchestra. And I was like, oh, that's not it. That's not it. Oh, that. Oh, no, no, not flute. No, 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 no. And then the saxophone, the alto, I was like, wait a minute. What is that? What? What is that? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I kept telling myself, alto saxophone, tell mom, alto saxophone. So you have to be careful what you tell your children they can't or shouldn't do.
All right. Well, you do have dimples, but not puffed out.
Well, she didn't understand that Dizzy Gillespie has actually bad technique.
Oh, you think so?
Well, I mean, in terms of you're not supposed to puff your cheeks out. Who cares? It works for him.
Well, that picture of him, or those pictures, are really something.
Yeah.
Say, do you ever listen to Earl Bostic?
No.
Oh. Well, I unfortunately don't think I could find it here on the computer, but... he's a saxophonist that I really, really enjoyed.
Oh, I have to write that down.
Earl Bostic, 9:16 on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Laurie Williams. I am going to take a break here, and we'll be back in just a moment with more of Laurie's music and her personality.
Do you have an old junk or car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junk or vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Unlock the the full potential of your outdoor space with a Cub Cadet XT Enduro Series tractor. Residential or professional zero-turn mower. Every Cub Cadet machine is engineered with you in mind to deliver incredible strength, durability, and comfort. With more performance from best-in-class features to help you accomplish more than ever before. So you can spend less time worrying about your yard and more time enjoying it. Test your American-built strength today at Kenyon Ace Hardware, your locally owned Cub Cadet dealer in Kenyon, for expert advice, superior service, and exceptional offers.
We're back live and in color from our studios in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. You're tuned to the 195.1 FM and, of course, 1080 on your AM dial. Been there for about 50 years now. I have in studio a very talented woman by the name of Lori Williams, who lives in Northfield now but has traveled North America with her talent. And I asked her to bring a instrument along because she can play several of them. She decided on an acoustic guitar. And let's set the stage. Let's say I'm an audience of 206 people, and we're seated in a semicircle. We're outside. The Cannon River is flowing by, and now it's your turn. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Lori Williams.
Here is a song called X's and O's, which is currently a hit being done by Ellie King.
I had me a boy, turned him into a man. I showed him all the things that he didn't understand. Whoa. And then I let him go. Now there's one in California who's been cursing my name, 'cause I found me a better lover in the UK. Until I made my getaway. One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me, 'cause I'm the best baby that they never gotta keep. One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave. My exes and us, they haunt me like a us. They want me to make them all. They won't let go. Exes and us. I had an armor lover down in New Orleans. Kept him warm in the winter, left him frozen in the spring. My. How the seasons go by. I get high and I love to get low, so the hearts keep breaking and the heads just roll. You know, it's how the story goes. One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me, climbing over mountains and sailing overseas. One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave. My exes and us, they haunt me like ghosts. They want me to make them all. They won't let go. Exes and us. I like the O's better.
X's and O's. Oh. Then, of course, Lori Williams on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Lori, I'm enjoying this. It's 921 on 1080 Radio on a beautiful Thursday morning in May. And we're recording this session. And, of course, it will be available on kymnradio.net. And you can download it for your pleasure. And a lot of times, Lori, what happens is people will say, Wayne, you know, I'm sitting in my car where I'm supposed to be, go into a meeting, except I keep listening to the radio show. And I say, well, just download it. And when you take a trip to the cities, you can listen to hour one. On the way back, you can listen to hour two and be entertained by my guests. And, of course, Lori Williams, you look like you're ready to do another song. And if you want to, that's more than welcome. We can always get into the depth of your being a woman alive, working. Hey, speaking of woman alive, working, isn't there a group called Working Women or Work of Women or Women at Work? What am I thinking about?
Huh? Women Who Cook.
Women Who Cook? Is that a group up in Minneapolis?
Yeah, that's a group up in Minneapolis, yeah.
They're pretty good, aren't they?
They're fantastic, yeah.
Do you ever work with them?
Well, they sang that song that you just spun, Tempt Me, that I wrote.
Okay.
This black woman with this enormously beautiful voice that's very famous up in the cities. I want to say Geraldine. It's a family that they do Christmas festivals every year at Orchestra Hall. And anyway, she sang it, and I just cried. Because, you know, you write a song, and your voice isn't necessarily the best vehicle for that song. Well, hers was.
Now, do they perform at maybe the Dakota Room?
That type
of entertainment?
Yeah, and then they do like a Christmas concert at Orchestra Hall.
Okay. I have to throw out another name. Have you had the honor and privilege of meeting the great Marilyn Sellers?
Oh, yes. She's fabulous. I've seen her perform. What a voice.
Yeah.
What a talent.
And you have that talent also.
I can only hope, right?
How about another song that you want to sing? Because I know you got a huge repertoire.
Well, I thought we might, I would enjoy this, and perhaps some of your listeners will recall this song. It's called Just the Two of Us, and I like to play it on my saxophone, actually, and just sing it. But I'll pretend I'll sing some saxophone.
Now, who sang that?
Grover Washington Jr.,
yeah.
Saxophone player, yeah. I see the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. I think of you sometime. I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try, just the two of us, just the two of us, just the two of us, building castles in the sky, just the two of us, you and I. We look for love, no time for tears, wasted water's all that is. And it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not to those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know, just the two of us. We can make it if we try, just the two of us, just the two of us. Just the two of us, building castles in the sky. Just the two of us, you and I.
Just the two of us on the Wayne Eddy Affair on Kim Radio, Mr. Washington Jr., and she's taking off her headphones now. Now she's taking off the guitar, and she's placing the guitar back in the case, and she's not closing it, which means that we may get some more music.
Never.
It is 9:26 on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and my guest this morning is local Lori Williams. Where did you say you were originally from?
Chicago.
A wonderful town.
I have to mention, Susan Wissendahl lined us up, right?
Yes.
And this Saturday at noon, we're playing at 10,000 Drops. There's a big celebration, David Wissendahl's 40 years in law, and then his 70th birthday. And there's this new cocktail lounge where they're brewing their own bourbon.
Mm-hmm. 10,000 drops.
What else? They're brewing two different libations that I'm very fond of.
Libations.
Anyway, it's in Faribault.
At the old Anderson Furniture or whatever you call that warehouse. And that's on Saturday. And you're going to be with Daniel.
Daniel and Ray Coudray. That's my trio, is the three of us.
Okay.
And, they designated me official leader of the band.
Okay.
So I'm good with that. Because then I can boss them around and,
You just sang just the two of us, and now you're talking about just the three of us. So
that's right.
Maybe when you do that song on Saturday, you might say three instead of two. You don't want to prostitute the words.
Oh yeah,
I suppose.
No, that might give a strange impression. Yeah.
Did you? It appears that what I would like to do, and hopefully this is okay with you, is play the music and talk about the music, in the second hour, start in Chicago and end up in Northfield, which would probably take more than an hour. But I always invite people back if we don't get the whole cover, because I like to go off on tangents and learn more about individuals. It's just fun to do that. So I would like to have another song, and I'll take a break, and you can give me the CD you want me to play, and we'll play the whole thing all the way through, and we'll be back in just a moment here on the Wayne Eddy Affair with my guest on Kim, Lori Williams. Please stand by.
Southern Minnesota women are embracing adventure, and Girlfriends Magazine tells their stories in their May issue, available now at locations all around Northfield. Girlfriends Magazine has been inspiring, entertaining, and educating women in our region for nearly 10 years. Pick up your copy of their May Adventure issue today. To find a location near you, visit online at southernmingirlfriends.com. That's southernmingirlfriends.com. Girlfriends Magazine, where local women turn.
Local women, what? Southern Men are, yeah, it's a lot of fun, ladies, to take advantage of that annually. And once again, in studio, live and in color, and it's nice and cool in here today, although my guest is wearing a scarf. Did you think it was going to be cold, or is that attraction? I mean, wardrobe type thing.
It's just, I like silk.
It's what?
I like silk.
You like silk?
I do.
Have you ever been where they make silk? Overseas? China?
Bali.
Bali?
Yeah.
You've been to Bali?
Yeah.
Does that mean you belly dance?
No, but my friend Tracy does, and she'll be belly dancing Saturday in Faribault.
Really?
Yeah, we go on at noon to 2.
So we're going to have a
belly dance on a few songs, yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, she's an advanced belly dancer.
Well, I wouldn't know from advanced to beginner, actually. Does she use those little things that cling?
The zills? Yes, but she won't be zilling at this. She will use a scarf. I hope, at least on one song. Gigantic silk scarf.
Uh-huh.
And she will do a couple wardrobe changes.
Yeah, where's the stage going to be on that? Have you gone down and scoped it out?
I haven't, no.
Is it going to be indoors or outdoors
indoors,
or both?
Indoors.
Oh, yeah. Indoors. Okay, because mm-hmm. it's going to be a hot 90 degrees, I think, on Saturday.
Well, I think that's why it's a requirement to have a mojito in the middle of the day.
What?
A mojito. With mint.
A mojito? Is that a cocktail?
Yes.
Oh, what's in that?
Mint. And mint is very cooling.
Okay.
I'm just joking.
Mojito.
But, if you really want to celebrate the Memorial Day weekend, you got to power down.
All right. Speaking about power down, let's power up another cutoff of one of your CDs, and I think we're going to use the CD that is, I'm trying to find the... Let's see, it's called, what is it called? Jackson Brown, World in Motion.
Yep.
What's the story behind what we're going to play?
Well, this is the title track, and I sing on the title track in the bridge, and Bonnie Raitt sings in the chorus, and it was just a lot of fun. It's a good song.
And what is the name of that song?
World in Motion.
World in Motion. Ladies and gentlemen, World in Motion, Jackson Brown, and of course, Lori Williams on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Kim, a friend you can count on.
Around the golden calf, those who have not.
World in Motion on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. Hope you enjoyed that because that, of course, Jackson Browne from his album by the same name, World of Motion. And my guest in studio right here, right now, is Lori Williams. And Lori, you were part of that particular production. And tell us what it was like, where you were, how you did it, and all that stuff we don't know about.
Well, I was living out in Los Angeles at the time. I had an original music band, and we were playing up and down the Central Coast. And I met Jackson's brother, Severin, and I started playing music with him. He had a band. His songs were much more jazzy, and his voice was much sharper sounding, more like a trumpet. And anyway, I met Jackson, and he invited me down to sang on a few tracks on his record, and I like the studio because it makes you honest. When you play live, it's more fun, but when you get in a studio, it's like, oh my gosh, that's what I sound like. Oh no, back to the drawing board. It can actually take all the wind out of your sails if you let it. You just have to adapt. And so there's two basic types of musicians, a studio musician and a live musician, and not many can traverse because it takes two different skill sets.
Now, when you were asked to do that, that had to be a thrill to be on this album.
Oh, yeah.
And how did they audition you first, or was the brother's word good enough?
Well, I think Jackson had heard me sing and just knew I could do it.
Okay.
So I just went right in.
Were you the only female voice on that cut, and you harmonized with yourself, or?
No, I harmonized with Jackson, and okay. then Bonnie Raitt was on that too, which she has such a signature sound that you can just hear it. It's like Jackson. You just, okay, well, there's Bonnie.
Okay.
No. But then I'm on a few other songs where it's just me.
Okay, where it's just you?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any of them here or on this album?
Yeah, they're on that album, but.
Okay. Maybe later.
Yeah.
At 23 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota, my guest this morning is Lori Williams, a musician, and she particularly likes the saxophone. I've been looking for Earl Bostic on this computer, and I can't find it because I don't know how to enter it. So I'm strolling through the music. But what I want to know at this particular point is, if we can play another song, and you have three different CDs that I know you're on many of them, and of course you can go live, and I like that. Live radio, it's pretty unusual. Oh, she's putting on her guitar. We're going to hear something live again on
so
Kim.
Do you want Beatles or Elvis Presley?
Do I want the Beatles or Elvis Presley? You know what? I want both.
And should we start with Elvis?
Yes, I would like okay. that.
Can you hear the guitar all right?
Strum it and yeah. Oh yeah, I get it's good.
Love me tender, love me sweet. Never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true. All my dreams will fill. darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me long, take me to your heart. For it's there that I belong, and will never part. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will.
Oh, that was beautiful. Absolutely haunting. I like that. Thank you very much for playing that. Very pretty. Do you do that generally in your sets?
No, I'm not doing any of these except for the first one.
Okay.
These are just songs. Okay, so through the years, I've done various fundraisers and things. I've done some senior center fundraisers where Craig Wozner and Nick Weaver and I played and helped raise money for the senior center. Oren DeLong organized it. We've done that, I want to say, two or three times, and raised some good money for the senior center. And then I've done some things with the Over and Back Band. And then I play weddings, and so I draw from many styles for a wedding.
What is the most requested song at a wedding?
Really people want you to just kind of identify the first song. So I Just Want to Dance With You was the first song for the wedding that I played last summer. The Cashman family got married, And that was a ton of fun. That was just so much fun. But you draw from waltzes and swings and country and rock, and then I can really play because now, I like to play all these different styles.
You're talking about the reception.
Yeah, the reception.
Okay, I'm wondering, do you play at the wedding itself?
No, I don't do both.
Because that song, Love Me Tender, would really go over as an interlude, I would think.
Right, but you're so busy setting up to play the reception.
Oh. Now, who do you bring with you, or are you all alone?
It depends on the wedding, but yeah, I bring a band. Well, okay. Ray and I played. They hired me, and I said, Ray, let's play. And then we used his bass player and drummer that he plays with Fred the Bear.
Mm-hmm.
But Ray and I have played, we've played as a duo, and our voices just harmonize really well. So when you find that, that is a magical thing. That is not easy to find. And we have similar opinions on things that matter, you know, like when it comes to playing music. And then Dan is just a happy accident. He's a hoot.
Happy accident.
Isn't he fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, when you mention Ray, we're talking about Ray Coudray, who is a teacher at Northfield High School. And he's the one that directs... Rock and Roll Revival, which is a major production. Do you get involved in that? I know.
Yes.
Do you?
And my son was in that. Yeah.
He was?
Yeah. He sang the closing song. Not the last one, but the. Yeah, he was in a few different numbers, but then he sang the lead with Jonah Bertelsen.
Did you get tears?
Oh, it was fabulous. They sang Rock and Roll is King.
Well, I was very, very fortunate, and you mentioned Craig Wozner.
Yeah.
And he was able to, and Linda, score some tickets for my wife and I, and I didn't know where they were going to be, and it turned out we were right behind the board.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just center stage, perfect.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So I saw your son sing, but I didn't know it was your son singing.
Yeah, that's okay.
So. 16 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. My guest this morning on KYMN is Lori Williams, and I'm pushing her to play a lot of songs live and in color. And she did, I love the rendition. I mean that sincerely. I'm not being patronizing. It was
very
beautiful.
I loved Elvis. Okay. You know.
Say, speaking about recording and all that, while you're standing there getting ready to do a Beatles number, tell me about this place, Pachyderm, is that how you pronounce it? The recording studio in Cannon Falls. Where exactly is that located?
It's a few miles in on County 17.
Oh, okay. It's not on 19 at all.
No, you turn off of 19.
Okay. Is it before Cannon Falls or before Lake Bilsby or before in between the 52?
You take 19 over and then you turn left on that main street.
In downtown Cannon Falls?
Yeah, and then you turn left and then you go up to just before the Dairy Inn and then you take a right.
Oh.
Onto County 17 and it's out, I want to say, 2 or 3 miles.
Oh, isn't it in a big old campus?
It's the old Menzing place, the people that had the malting company.
Okay, which is right downtown there. That got all the cars at Diablo Pontiac Buick dusty.
Yeah, they needed a party house, so they built one there.
Do you think the fellow, who runs that place?
I don't know.
Oh, isn't there some guy that runs it?
An engineer? Well, you know, it's had a lot of turnover. I'm not sure who's there now.
All right. Well, I thought that would be an interesting interview to interview somebody that is mixing and engineering musicians' hopes.
Well, you could see if you could get Brent Sigmuth in, because he's a fabulous engineer and he lives out in Cannon Falls, and I believe he might do things still there. I'm not sure.
Okay, I always like to use connections to find guests.
Yeah.
And I found you. Thank
He's
you
a great
to Susan.
Guy.
And now we heard from, I might ask you to play that song again by Elvis Presley. And after, let's see, there was, in my memory, there was Frank Sinatra, and then the Beatles, then Elvis Presley, and then, of course, the Beatles. So do you know any Frank Sinatra tunes?
I don't.
Okay.
No, I
You're
don't
too young
know,
for that,
no,
huh? So how about it? Go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, live on the KYMN radio stage from downtown Northfield, Minnesota, here is Lori Williams.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ear and I'll sing you a song. I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by the little help from my friends. I get high the little help from my friends. I'm gonna try the little help from my friends. What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry you to be alone? How do I feel at the end of the day? Are you sad because I get by the little help from my friends. I get high the little help from my friends. I'm gonna try the little help from my friends. Do you need anybody? I need somebody to love. Could it be anybody? I want somebody to love. Would you believe in a love at first sight? Yes, I'm certain it happens all the time. What do you see when you turn out the light? I can't tell you, but I know it's mine. Oh, I get by the little help from my friends. I get high the little help from my friends. I'm gonna try the little help from my friends.
Thank you once again, Lori Williams, performing on the acoustic guitar. In addition to that, she, of course, is singing songs that we all can relate to. That's what's nice about hearing cover songs. I always ask this question to people. Do you know Brandon Sampson from Rochester,
no.
6 Mile Grove? You don't? Okay.
No.
That's okay.
I think Ray does, though.
Yeah, I think you did
Ray
mention.
Opened for him or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to work the mic.
I think Ray opened for him.
Right. The reason I ask you that is that I think and I say this all the time, I think people like to hear a cover song so they can say, oh, okay, they're really good.
Oh, sure.
I mean, but most musicians like yourself that also write, you would prefer to play your own music.
Not necessarily. Like when I'm playing live, we're doing pretty contemporary covers of. I'm not concerned about, you know. I mean, if I write a song and it goes somewhere and has legs, as they say, and somebody records it and makes it, you know, something that people will recognize, that's fine. But I don't have an attachment to playing originals live. Because people want to hear songs they know or songs that, I don't know. I'm really picky about song choices for live.
No, the money is in publishing, right?
Yeah.
If you write a song and the Beatles were, well, the Beatles, if somebody were to use that song, let's say Taylor or somebody like that, that's where the money is. Have you had any luck with somebody using your writings?
I've had some people record. They didn't make it big hits. I had a publishing deal in Nashville for a period of time. But you really have to live in Nashville and write with the Nashville writers. And there's a little bit of a murky thing happening now where because there's so much music money in publishing, you will see a song that says it was written by so-and-so. Well, it wasn't really written by them. And the real writer had to sign off that they were okay with giving away their, you know, that right to have their name on there.
Blackmail.
Yeah, otherwise they don't record it.
Yeah.
Because there's so much pressure on these big stars to also be writers. Well, oftentimes they're not writers.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll see a lineup of three writers on that song and their name is on there. Well, yeah, right.
Well, you know,
maybe they wrote one line.
And that's one of the things about the Beatles. If you look through all their if you look at who wrote it, it's usually Lennon and McCartney. And then occasionally Ringo Starr, occasionally Morrison. But they truly did write those.
Yeah.
And you wonder how the discussion went with the other two that didn't get their names on there, or where they said, yeah, you guys wrote it, I don't have to have my name on there and make all that money. Colonel Parker's another one with Elvis Presley who put his name on the records.
Oh,
so, you know, that's,
poor Elvis.
That's, oh, say, speaking about Nashville, do you know where Franklin is down there by Nashville?
No.
Really?
Well,
okay.
I just flew in and out. Welcome to Music City.
Oh.
I was so happy.
Okay. Did you get a chance to meet Craig's brother, Peter?
No. No, that was really kind of before I knew Craig at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But you've heard his works. And he's composed some songs that have been covered by Vince Gill. So.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
What a voice.
Well, we have to take a break, and when we come back, you still have your guitar on, and as far as I'm concerned, I'd like another song. So go ahead, look at what you think would go over big on radio, and we will take this brief time out on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
This is raindrops falling in the outfield of Target Field. That is Max Kepler ensuring nothing else does. As a shout out to our outfielders and their impossible catches, the first 10,000 fans on June 1st will get a Nothing Falls But Raindrops Kepler bobblehead presented by Pentair. Collect the Buxton and Rosario bobbles later to complete the set. Don't miss a warning track leap, sliding snag, or the first bobblehead in the series. That's how we defend our outfield. This is how we baseball. Visit twinsbaseball.com.
Firehouse Liquor, your family-owned and operated liquor store in Dundas. We have the largest selection in southern Minnesota, open daily from 8 to 10 p.m. for all your refreshments. We offer 15% case wine discounts, and for the seniors, we have discounts every day. It's Firehouse Liquor in Dundas.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to KYMN Radio's live production here on 1080 AM and the 195.1. I am very fortunate. I have Lori in the studio right now, and we're going to hear Miss Williams perform another song, and this is going to be interesting, this one.
This is I Can See Clearly Now. It was written by Johnny Nash and made famous by Creedence Clearwater.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Well, how about that? I get to hear this live and in color, and you get to hear it, but I also get to watch, too. Our guest this morning on KYMN Radio, Lori Williams, a Northfield resident, and we'll find out how she ended up in Northfield by way of Chicago after the news, which is coming up in just 3 minutes here on Kim, a friend you can count on. Now, I'm going to have to ask you something, Lori. When you say you're going to play the song, I Can See Clearly Now, I immediately thought of Johnny, and you said that it was made popular by Creedence Clearwater. Now, to me, the song is Johnny Nash. I mean, I didn't even know.
That's
I've been out of the loop for a while, and I'm just kind of ahead of or behind. Ahead of Creedence Clearwater, but I'm going to have to look that up sometime and listen to how they did it. I like your rendition. Wow. How many octaves can you sing?
I don't really pay attention to it. I decided I wasn't going to get myself worried about that. I was just going to sing any notes I wanted to, you know. I think a lot of people get messed up in their brain about, oh, that's a high note, and then they get mental blocks about it.
Okay.
So it just, you just resonate different in a different cavity, in a different place.
Well, when you just got done performing that, I imagined that that is going to be a song that you'll also have others singing along with you, because you were doing a part that was astray, excellent, than the exact melody. So who do you sing that with?
Well, that one I've sung with my friend Wendy Smith. We don't do any of these in the band, in the layout. We are more contemporary in the layout, which is a lot of fun.
Okay. Daniel tried to explain the layout to me as a layman, and I got the impression it's how you present a song, or
the reason. Ray and I agreed on calling ourselves The Layout is because we were tired of playing with musicians that just want to fill every hole in the canvas. You know, when you listen to music and it's produced in the studio, there's a lot of space. And in the space is some of the beauty of the song. And if you fill it all in, because you want to maybe keep the beat, or you can, you know, and then it just makes it kind of, okay, well, after a while you get ear fatigue and you're not really hearing the different parts coming in and out, and it's kind of one volume, and there's just no production. So it's not interesting.
So layout.
The layout. Then. A good musician knows when to lay out and not play.
Okay. All
That's
right.
what it is.
All right. Would that be more appropriate, not appropriate, but more connected to jazz?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, for most people, the layout would be an ad that you want to put into a magazine. Here's the layout. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. Every song is laid out differently.
All right. Well, we'll take a brief break, and okay. we'll come back and hear some more music from Lori Williams. Also, find out how she got from Chicago to Northfield, Minnesota. And is your son graduating this year, or he's...
He graduated, yeah.
Oh, okay. So
he was in the Rock and Roll Revival 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you know, you probably go once in a lifetime. Sometimes some people make it twice, but you never miss that. It's a great program. This is KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial, and the one, 95.1 FM.
Special report, U.S. North Korea summit canceled. In a statement from North Korea citing tremendous anger and open hostility, President Trump has called off the June 12th summit. Correspondent Elise Labatt reads from a statement issued by Trump.
I feel it's inappropriate at this time to have this long-planned meeting. Therefore, please let this letter serve to represent that the Singapore summit, for the good of both parties, but to the detriment of the world, will not take place. Your talk about your nuclear capabilities, but ours are so massive and powerful that I pray to God they will never have to be used.
Yesterday, a top North Korean official directing a lob at U.S. VP Mike Pence had more rhetoric in the war of words.
Calling Pence, a political dummy.
There's Ivan Watson. No word on if that statement inflamed tensions. Again, the planned June 12th summit between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and President Trump has been called off. I'm John Trout. Appearing on Fox and Friends, President Trump says the NFL is doing the right thing with a policy banning kneeling during the national anthem.
I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country.
President Trump is ordering a federal probe into whether foreign auto imports are a threat to national security. The Commerce Department confirms it's heading the investigation. The president has already slapped tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. The Memorial Day weather forecast, rainy for much of the East Coast, with potential flooding due to heavy rain for a good portion of the southeastern U.S., meteorologist Chad Myers.
So your Memorial Day vacation may be inside in some spots here. Temperatures are going to be nice, but the rainfall could be 4 to 5 inches deep in some spots. That could make flooding.
A disturbance in the Gulf of Mexico, part of that rainy outlook. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 155 points. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota. We are the one, 95.1 FM, and of course, 1080 AM radio, and almost 50 years in September it will be. In the studio live and in color with me is Lori Williams, a very talented woman, and she's from Northfield, Minnesota. And we've been talking all about your music and playing your music, and you related that you're familiar with the song that I use on my second hour, the theme song, When I'm 64.
Yeah. That, well, I worked that song up years ago. I just love that song. You know, will you be there when I'm 64? Yeah.
And the grand humor of that is when that was written, they were in their 20s.
Right.
And then all of a sudden now, they're all about my age.
Well, and there's only two left.
Yeah.
and they're both about my age. And look at that. They're out there working and performing. And, of course, a lot of stops in Los Worst. I call it the Worst Coast, California.
Oh.
And L.A., you know, we flyovers see all the glitz and glitter and, you know, all the good things, supposedly. But I don't think I'd want to live in Los Angeles.
No, no, it was just unbelievable to me. It would take a half an hour to go just 10 miles on the 405, and the signs would be lit up, you know, stay indoors, smog alert. You know, in other words, the air is so bad that you're not supposed to breathe, and they're showing you this as you're driving down the highway, and you're stuck bumper to bumper. And the nickname I gave it was Smelly.
Smelly?
Yeah.
On the Worst Coast.
It was... it was a good place to leave.
Okay, just for the, you know, where did you live? Did you live like in an apartment in downtown, or did you live out in the suburbs, or what kind of a commute did you have? Did you go to a regular job? What was it like?
No, I started supporting myself playing music only, and so it was you know, a lot of rice and beans. But I started in the Northeast, so New England. I played folk clubs in ski areas and festivals and of a variety of different festivals, and then went down to Florida in the winter, and then broadened out to Massachusetts and Connecticut, along with Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, and then thought, well, let's just go to L.A. And really, in retrospect, it would have been a better strategy to go to Nashville, because at that point in time, all the Nashville writers were getting inundated by L.A. writers, because the music industry, the songwriters, were moving to Nashville. But we, my band and I, we weren't privy to that kind of information. We didn't know. So we went to L.A., and that was like, oh my gosh, you know, getting a paying gig in L.A., was quite an achievement.
Were you the manager?
No.
Marketing director?
No. We were a four-piece, and so there were a couple of us trying to get gigs, and we wound up finding paying jobs in Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo primarily, and a little bit in Westwood where UCLA is.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like a caravan of gypsies. We had a 22-foot motorhome, a van, and a station wagon.
For four people.
Yeah. So I was cooking big vats of rice and beans, and we were using the UCLA practice rooms to practice. We would walk in there like we were students.
Like we owned the place, yeah.
They've since locked the rooms,
probably because of us. Did you ever play at the prison in San Luis Obispo?
No, we had a huge following in the Central Coast. We were the biggest band there.
What was the name of that band?
The Lost Angels.
Okay.
And there were lines outdoors of clubs to get in, and it was fun. There was a place in Avila Beach at the end of a pier that we played, and when we're playing, the whole pier is rocking, you know.
And the
hanging baskets are waving back and forth. Yeah.
What did the band consist of? You're the saxophone player, guitar player, vocalist, and then what?
Well, yeah, and then there was another keyboard player, and by that point we were a five-piece band. There was a drummer, bass player. Then the three of us were multi-instrumentalists. One played keyboard as well, and mandolin, banjo, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, harmonica, and sang. And his name is Jimmy Stadler, and he's in Taos, New Mexico, and has won the award for Best Entertainer of New Mexico a few times by the governor.
Sounds like it.
And he gave me a standing invitation. Anytime I want to move there, I'm in the band. He said, I'm the only person. He offers that too. But it's kind of strange down there. It's like the desert. Well, it is the desert.
Yeah.
And then there was another multi-instrumentalist who is in Bend, Oregon, and he played slide guitar on electric and acoustic guitar, and he also played flat picking. He was more bluegrassy country, played fiddle, banjo, and sang. His voice wasn't, he's lost his voice, which is very sad because he was a good writer.
No, the band that you're talking about, the Lost Angels,
yep.
Play on Los Angeles?
Yeah, that's right.
Because okay.
That's the name of Los Angeles, really means Lost Angels.
Okay. So this multi-talented guy and yourself who play several instruments, and ultimately you had a five-piece band. You had two keyboards and a drummer. It sounds like that was a very entertaining band.
It was. We were really, really, all we did was play. All we did was practice and play and travel. And so we got really quite good. But we didn't know people in the business. And as we started to look into the business, we realized, oh my gosh, this is one horrific business.
Yeah. What would you get for a gig? What was your best paying job ever out there as a Lost Angels?
Oh, gosh, like $1,000?
$200 a piece?
Yeah.
And you had
There were tips.
Oh, really?
But, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, it's the kind of thing that nowadays it's hard to find a job that even pays. Like, I will not play a place if they are not willing to pay me. It's like, this is just way beyond rude. And it's so disrespectful to the musicians.
But there's tons of musicians behind you that will be happy to play for
and
nothing
they do.
To get the exposure.
They do, but they're undermining the whole works.
But didn't you do that when you began?
Never.
Not even in the beginning?
Only on Hoot Night. That's talent night.
Okay.
I began at the Kingston Mines and Somebody Else's Troubles in Chicago.
Did you grow up entirely in Chicago?
Yeah, and then I went off to college young. I graduated high school in 3 years.
Well, see, this is a part of the interview where I like to get interested in like, where in Chicago? Did you live in Chicago or a suburb?
A suburb. And my sister was very influential on me in playing the piano. She was a very good pianist, and she still plays and sings. Which is a ton of fun. She married a jazz musician from Berkeley in Boston. So whenever I see her in Alaska, we jam. And she plays keyboard, and Lindy plays fabulous jazz guitar. And then I jam on my alto, and they have a bass player come by.
Well, she's an older sister?
Yeah, she's an older sister. What? And we had a beautiful grand piano that I would lay underneath and listen to her play.
What's her name?
Linda.
Okay.
And she played Beethoven Moonlight Sonata, and she started getting into some Rachmaninoff and
oh, Rimsky.
Holy Moses.
No, Rachmaninoff.
It was hard. It was like, forget it. And I thought, well, I can't. In addition, my mother's brother was a classical pianist, and my whole mother's side of the family was extremely classically oriented, you know, towards music. Like, just play classical. That's the real music. So I thought, well, this is a whole lot of no fun.
How much
and
older?
I'm looking to music for some fun.
How much older is Linda than you?
9 years older.
Oh, so she's really your big sister.
Yeah.
How many other kids are just the two of you?
There's four of us. There's two brothers in between.
In between. What are their names?
Rick.
Rick?
Yep.
How much older is Rick than
He's
you?
He's six.
Okay. And then after Rick?
Mark.
Mark. Okay. And then after Mark, it's you.
Yep.
How much older is Mark?
Four.
Okay. So you're the baby.
I am definitely.
The baby.
Yes.
And I can see you looking up to Linda. If you had a grand piano, I figure your family, your dad had a pretty good job. I mean, grand pianos are kind of.
Well, he traded in the upright.
Oh, okay.
And paid, you know, like $1,000 for a grand piano.
Okay. What?
And he used, you know, used piano place.
Yeah. Was your dad a musician?
He was a drummer.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you
but
beat
here's
that?
The interesting piece. My father's mother, so my grandmother on my paternal side, her father was the musician that played by ear, that had a beautiful voice and played piano and violin.
My father's mother is your grandmother.
Right, my grandmother and her father. So her my father. Great-grandfather
okay.
on the paternal side was the jammin musician.
Okay.
And unfortunately, he died really young, and leaving my grandmother and her like three sisters poor in Boston.
Oh boy.
With a mother. And oh, that was just, she said we had to eat lobster because that's what poor people ate.
That's something.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my great aunt May was the raving beauty of the family, and Marshall Fields wanted to hire her to do a photo shoot, you know, so that she could expose herself in their beautiful clothes. And the mother, she said, no, you can't do that. That's just wrong. That's the same thing as, you know, like being some kind of whore, I suppose.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't just show yourself like that.
Oh,
oh good Lord. Yeah, so.
So that kind of crushed your plans, I suppose, of being a model. So
no.
Your dad was did play the drums.
Yeah.
But what did he do for a living?
He was a salesman.
Okay, for retail
he
or
He was
wholesale?
A rep for a few different furniture companies.
So he was on the road.
Yeah, and he traveled around. Sometimes I went with him. Everybody loved to see him. He was very good with people.
And selling furniture? Did he have the little models that he'd show people?
Yeah.
That had you got any of those left? Because they're pretty valuable.
I still have some furniture because it was just great stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was your mom a stay-at-home mom with the kids?
Yes, she was.
Okay. And you lived in a suburb of Chicago.
Yep.
Which one?
Riverside.
Okay. I don't know where that is.
It's near Oak Park.
Which is?
West.
Okay, west of Chicago.
Yeah, it's near River Forest where the mobsters live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you go to...
Tony the Tuna?
Tuna?
Tony the Tuna?
Tony the Tuna.
Yeah.
Okay, did you get to meet him?
No, thank God.
Was he in the... He was arrested, now he's in the can? Oh, I'm
sorry.
I don't
know, he must... Oh, that's bad. Now he's in the can.
Did you go to one grade school?
Yeah.
Okay, and what was the name of that?
Central.
Central Grade School.
Yeah.
And, of course, you had everybody going before you. And so is Williams your maiden name?
Yeah.
Okay. So you had all these brothers and sisters before you, so there were probably expectations. Were they talented like you are?
Oh, well, I kind of realized that if I just show up alive at dinner, nobody's going to know what, you know. Those were back in the unattended days. We went out on the river. We canoed on the river. We just played in the street. You know, kids were not on lockdown.
And you actually had dinner.
Yeah, they rang the bell, and we would show. I would show up for dinner.
Okay.
You know. And I was very close with my parents.
Yeah, my mom would whistle. I don't know how she did it to this day. She put a couple of fingers in her mouth, and she could whistle. And if we weren't back, you know. So now you're going to go off to high school. And high school was at 9 through 12 in that community?
Yeah.
What was the high school called?
Oh, the high school.
Central?
Yeah, I mean, it was just the high school.
It wasn't a parochial school like St. Joseph's?
No. Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
So when you get there...
We weren't overly religious.
Okay. So when you get there, Linda had gone through, Rick had gone through, and Mark was just getting done. So now you go in. Did people, teachers already know the family?
Oh, the fellow students, the upperclassmen, well, some of the teachers recognized me, the German teacher... my brother Rick was quite a personality and a very handsome guy and really nice. And so people, the girls would come up to me and say, "Are you Rick Williams' little sister?"
Mm-hmm.
And I go, "Yeah."
Yeah. Do you think you could introduce me? So what did you excel in or what interests did you have in high school?
Well, I was a tennis player and a horseback rider, and I liked to bike a lot. But I started picking up the guitar when I was 14 because I could take it down to the basement. And luckily, my older siblings introduced me. I'll back up a little bit. My parents introduced me to great music. Harry Belafonte, Barbara Streisand, Ray Charles, Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. Moon River.
Andy
the Look
Williams.
Of Love, Dusty Springfield. I mean, just incredible music. And so that was spinning on the record player. And I was, oh, that's fabulous. And then my sister was a Beatle maniac. And okay. She just had every Beatle record. We're on the second floor. My parents' bedroom is on the first floor on the other side of the house. So Linda was always playing Beatles records upstairs. And she was pegged as the wild girl, even though she wasn't. So she was so busy getting in trouble that my parents didn't even, think I ever did anything, which I didn't really. But so there was a lot of music. And then my brothers took me out shopping to get my first little phonograph and 10 records.
45s?
No, whole albums.
Oh, 33
I'd been
and
saving
a third.
My money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you buy?
I got the Led Zeppelin and Who's Next and Jimi Hendrix, Cry of Love, and Janis Joplin and Joni Mitchell and Carole King. It was, and probably a Beatles record. But so it was all over.
Who did you most admire, Janis Joplin or Carole King?
Carole King.
Okay. So you didn't want to
Joni
be a screamer.
Mitchell. Well, but I used to scream and run around the basement. And in my old band, I used to do Move Over, that Janis Joplin tune. But I'm not as much a rock singer. I'm more of a balladeer.
What was the name of that band?
Janis Joplin?
Yeah, when you were doing
Janis. Holding Company, was it? Was it?
Yeah, but your band.
Oh, no, it was the Lost Angels.
Okay. You didn't get in a band in high school?
No. I was busy going out and... Oh, I was in choir, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and I sang in church as a child.
Okay.
And then I was in the two choirs in high school. I like singing in choirs.
Okay. Did you like high school?
I still sing in choir. I sing at the United Methodist Church
here
in town.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. And I play a couple Sundays a month in the contemporary band with Wendy Smith. She's kind enough to invite me in and have me play.
Over at the United Methodist Church across from Sibley High, Grade School. And I've told this story before, but you've never heard it. I remember when Kim Radio first started, there was some celebration at the United Methodist Church. They were going to burn their mortgage papers. And I thought, well, why is that a news story? But we reported it, and they had a nice... celebration of burning the mortgage papers. I, for some reason, I told that to Lee Lansing, who's a member of that congregation. Don't know why I remember it, but I do.
Interesting.
But they built
I'm assuming since. they had paid it off.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was wondering, if is it possible just burn your mortgage papers and just call it good?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? So did you like high school?
Oh, no.
I didn't think so.
Awful. I just, the girls were so,
mean girls?
I just had discovered music, and all I wanted to do was play and sing. So I stayed home. My parents went out, and I stayed home. I loved the weekends because the house was empty, and I just played and sang. And I started voyaging into song. Oh, well, okay, so the story behind this record, this instrumental, is there was a man that came to my parents' parties who would sit down at the piano with no music and play boogie woogie and blues. And I was like, what are you doing? How are you doing this? And you have no music. I said, teach me, what are you doing? He said, no, I don't teach anybody, and I don't know what I'm doing. And then I was like, well, what? But it sounds so good. So after the second party, I went up to him, and I said, you're going to teach me what you're doing right now. And he thought, well, Okay. I guess I am. And so he taught me the blues, bum 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 bum, the 12-bar blues progression and boogie woogie. And then he said, so you do this little 12-bar blues progression in your left hand, and then you jam on your right hand. And if you hit a bad note, hit it again so it sounds intentional. Just like the jazz players do.
For God's sakes.
Right?
Well, Fats Domino kind of had that style.
Yeah, exactly. And then he said, and go out and get the Scott Joplin music and teach yourself ragtime. So I wrote this song. It's Big Al's Boogie. So we'll have to play that. Because it's ragtime and boogie woogie.
We'll take a break and then we'll get that going. Our guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair, Lori Williams, an extraordinary woman that is a singer, instrumentalist, and a personality. We'll be right back.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living, conveniently located in downtown Northfield, has got a big case of spring fever. Our tenants embrace life to the fullest, and one way of doing that is cheering on the Minnesota Twins. Sure, we've got beautiful apartments, great food, and all the supportive services needed, but another thing we get really excited about is baseball. To catch up on the latest Twins news and get a tour, call me, Kathy Olson, at 507-650-0141.
Capital Construction is Northfield's premier locally owned exterior construction company. As a locally owned company with the majority of their employees having graduated from Northfield High School, Capital Construction would like to salute all of the area graduates. You've put in a lot of hard work and your future is bright. Call Capital Construction for all of your exterior construction needs. Whether it's replacing damaged siding or roofs, upgrading to energy efficient windows and doors, or just giving your home an upgraded facelift to make it stand out, Capital Construction can help you give your house the exterior it deserves. Call them today for a free consultation at 952-222-4004 or check them out at capitalconstructionllc.com.
Right here on our clock, I have 10:26:06. And I'm looking outside, and there's plenty of sunshine. I understand it's going to get a little warm today. That's good. We deserve it, that's for sure. And it is breezy, so that'll help, too. I hope you're enjoying your Thursday morning, May 24th, 2018. My guest is Lori Williams. And Lori is not only a vocalist, but she also is a keyboardist and a saxophonist, alto, and many other things. I imagine the tambourine and...
under duress.
Yeah. Harmonica?
Oh, no.
Not for
really.
Just fun?
Okay. I took that on canoe trips, but that's
okay.
It.
So did you think Will Healy was pretty good at it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just getting an opinion. Well, Lori, what are we going to play now? Because I'm going to do the whole thing. I'm going to play it all the way through. It's 10:27 right now.
Yep.
So you set it up, and I'll start playing it.
This is a track I wrote called Ragtime Boogeyman, and it was on the Boys of Minnesota soundtrack.
Thank you.
Okay, that is called what?
Ragtime Boogeyman.
Ragtime Boogeyman. Now, what do you mean it was done for the Boys of Minnesota?
It was a movie that was shot in Minnesota called Boys from Minnesota. I need to make a special you know, mention of the fact that my trio, The Layout, is mentioned in this month's Northfield Entertainment Guide.
Okay.
And Susan Vistendahl really helped get this fabulous little article written in there about us and our future dates. So if you have a chance to pick it up, it's on the stands. It's free. It's all over town. Northfield Entertainment Guide, page 31.
Page 31.
31, The Layout, regional bands.
Susan is she's an excellent writer. She knows everything that's going on in town. And I admire her very much. She has adopted Northfield as her community and is doing a great job.
Yeah, we're lucky.
In that she's busy writing books, too. Okay, so I left you off at high school.
Uh-oh.
And you were...
The plot thickens.
You were pretty much a loner and interested in music. And when you were talking about... the music that your sisters or your mm-hmm. brothers liked, would that included the Beach Boys and the Rolling Stones and Diana Warwick or the Mamas and the Papas or
what
era?
Yeah, it was the 70s, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
80s.
Now, did your brother Rick get drafted?
Well, my brother Rick got in trouble with hallucinogenics and blew his mind. So
forever?
Yeah, he went off into it induced a mental illness in him, and so I wound up caring for him and still to this day make sure he's okay.
You know,
this is what propelled me into music, actually, is the fact that when I was 14, he was sent home from his senior year in college, and we were very close. You know, Linda was long gone for, you know, a few years already. And when he came back, he was not the same person.
Are you talking about Rick?
Yeah.
Okay. And Rick was 6 years older than you.
Yeah.
But
he was very sweet.
This can be a learning lesson, all right, for our grandparents and parents that are listening in reference to their children and grandchildren and drugs. Now, I assume you're talking about LSD.
Yeah, LSD and possibly, I'm not sure, there might have been MDA out at the campus, which is an animal tranquilizer. He had been smoking marijuana. Now, oddly enough, I come to find out that cannabis can induce schizophrenia.
Oh.
Look it up on Wikipedia. It's surprise, surprise. You know, it's getting legalized in many states. I wonder what impact that's going to have.
Paranoia, too.
Well,
paranoia too.
But schizophrenia is just nothing to mess with. And no. If you have the wrong genetic makeup, you're in trouble. You know, if you trip that trigger.
When does a person, and we can abandon the subject if you want to, but when does a person like Rick realize, or does he ever realize that he has lost the compass of life?
Well. He just stopped functioning and having, you know how we're kind of tethered to the earth in a way, like, okay, here I am, here's where I'm going, here's how I'm going to pay my bills. You know, he just like abdicated all responsibility for that. And frankly, I confronted his psychiatrist years after his diagnosis, and I said, you know, what if you'd treated him like he'd had a chemical psychosis? You know, chemically induced psychotic event. What if that had happened instead of being immediately put on these psychotropic drugs, like Haldol or whatever, you know, they treat crazy people with? And he said, I said, do you think you could have brought him back? And he said, that's a question I'll never know. I will tell you that today, if he were to show up, we would first treat him like he was having a psychotic episode.
Would he recognize you and be able to converse with you?
Yeah, he recognizes me, but his attention span is just horrible, and, you know, he's a mess.
Is somebody taking care of him now?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's in a care home. Okay. I moved him up here about 20 years ago to Minneapolis.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
So you're your brother's keeper.
I am.
Well, hopefully Mark's doing okay.
Yep.
Okay. You're doing okay.
Yep.
Are your parents still living?
No, unfortunately. We lost them. My dad passed away. Yeah, they're both gone. So that was a huge hole that has not been filled. You know, you just can't replace your parents. That's it.
At a young age?
No, in the last 10 years.
Okay. Well, I have to tell you that at 18, my buddy and I had an apartment before we graduated from high school. I mean, that's how we moved out. And I was gone, pretty much. And I would come home for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of that. And I didn't have a real close relationship with Mom. I certainly wasn't Mother's baby boy. And when she passed away, I found it totally shocking, and I shouldn't say shocking, I was surprised that I thought about her every day.
Yeah,
and I didn't before, but after she died, I thought, like, I can't share this with her, or I can't tell her that, or I can't go enjoy the meals or conversations. So it's kind of I think a lot of people find that that aren't living in the same community as their parents that they see every day, realize, holy cow, wish I would spend a little more time talking like I do with my guests.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's a hole, and it makes you the sage of your family system when your parents are both gone, which is weird, because now you're up, like, next generation. All that weight goes on your shoulders. Oh, no, you're in charge, you know.
Yeah.
Because you always have your parents to tell stuff to.
But
and then they're gone.
About Linda and Mark? Didn't Linda take a leading role?
Well, she's in Alaska, and we're all adults.
Okay.
You know.
Alaska.
Yeah.
Alaska.
Yeah.
I think of Air Force.
She loves Alaska. I don't know why.
I have a friend, Herman Transberg, who's well-known in Northfield, and his son just graduated from Anchorage, the University of Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's studying to be a geologist, or studied to be.
They pay you to go to college up there
if
you're from there.
Yeah. And I said to Herman, I said, geology? You know, he's going to look at rocks? I'm thinking they're going to have a hard time finding a job, but geologists are in demand right now. You know, the oil companies,
right,
et cetera.
That's right, comb the earth for more resources.
So what did you do when you got out of high school?
I went to college in Dallas, Texas for a little bit.
How'd you find that place?
Well, I heard it had a great music school department. So I went there for a while, and then I said, hey, look, Mom, Dad, they can't teach me what I want to learn. And, you know, just let me go. You know, and so I went off, and they said, okay, fine. They had their hands full.
Did you do a year there and test?
Yeah,
it out,
and I just was like, you know, see, I can do it. I got great grades.
Okay.
But they can't teach me what I want to learn. And so basically, I went to the School of Rock.
Rock and roll? Or
yeah.
Hard rocks.
And no. And, you know, in terms of I hit the road and supported myself playing music. That's what I wanted to do. So.
You were that accomplished after a year out of high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'd been playing since I was 14.
Did you play in a high school band?
No.
Or garage band?
No. I was playing at somebody else's troubles in Kingston Mines and you know, just
somebody else's troubles?
Yeah, in Chicago.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, that's a famous place.
It's else's trouble.
Yeah.
Where are you going? I'm going
now.
To somebody else's trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And yeah. As an individual?
Kingston Mines is still there.
Okay.
No, I was in a duo originally.
Okay. Good tips, I would imagine.
And, you know, I mean, if you can support yourself and go do what you want to do, I don't think parents have much of a problem with that.
No, they don't. They
you
shouldn't.
You know, I mean, right. Because you can always go back if you need to. But I didn't wind up.
Did you hear just a true story? There's a guy, of course, in California, on the worst coast, 30 years old, lives with his parents, and the parents want to kick him out. And it went to court. And the parents are sitting there like looking like parents, and the guy's there, and he's got hair down to his shoulders, clean and not and neat, but, you know, he just doesn't want to leave home. Cool. He's 30 years old, and they're suing him to get an order from the court to get him out of the house. Do you think of that? Huh?
I've heard of this. Like, if you have adult children move home, you have to have a contract, a legal contract that you...
Well, yeah, they call that...
Because otherwise, you've allowed them to come in, and it's just so sad. Too many lawyers. Sorry, Dave, but...
Yeah, okay. Well put. All right.
You can't kick your own child out. Go get a job. Go find a life.
I was just thinking squatter's rights. That's what it comes mm-hmm. under, squatter's right. If you allow mail there and they're there for some length of time, legally you can't get rid of them.
Oh, dear.
But this will be interesting how this 30-year-old case gets...
It's going to be a precedent setter.
And his reason is that he loves his mother. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The milk train.
19 minutes before it's 11 o'clock, I'm having fun with Lori Williams. We'll play some more of her music. And don't forget, Lori, maybe right at the end of this interview, Love Me Tender. You did such a nice job on that. It's so sweet. Not right now.
Okay.
We still got a conversation going.
Uh-oh.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
All right. We'll be right back.
You never know who's going to show up on St. Paul's front porch. Tonight, it's the Big Doll Gang. Isn't that adorable? Little Tommy is going to shoot off some bottle rockets. Bet he doesn't know they're illegal in Minnesota. Be careful, Tommy. Don't shoot your eye out.
Saints baseball tonight at 7:05 with Stranger Things Night. Plus, XL Energy Friday Night Fireworks with a Saints Magnet Schedule Giveaway.
Fun is good at CHS Field, St. Paul's front porch, and home of Saints baseball.
Willie's Shoe Repair in Northfield is your shoe and boot repair center. Randy also does leather repair, including bags and briefcases. They sell new boots, belts, and shoe care items. Your shoes and boots will appreciate the quality work at Willie's Shoe Repair.
Hi, I'm Angie Taylor, Director of Life Enrichment at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. We offer daily activities at each of our facilities, including independent senior living, assisted living, care center, and memory care. The activities range from exercise classes to sing-alongs, games to gardening, from bus rides in the countryside to painting fine art. Activities are personalized for the individual. Please call Three Links at 664-8800 or find out more at threelinks.org.
The river opens for the righteous, and 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 the river opens for the righteous someday. On my mind, I said what I believe in my soul ain't what I see with my eyes, and we can't turn our back this time. I am a patriot and I love my country, because my country is all I know. I wanna be with my family, people who understand me. I've got nowhere else to go. And the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous someday. And I was talking.
This is Jackson Brown. We're waiting for a solo or a
baby. Here was I on am. Your mind. She said, I want to run like the lion, released from the cages, released from the rages, burning in my heart tonight.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
You're doing the high part.
Yeah.
All right. You're good.
That's a Little Steven song.
Little Stevenson. Yeah. Okay.
He was Bruce Springsteen's guitar player.
Okay. I'm not as knowledgeable as I'd like to be about music.
Well, you might have seen him act in The Sopranos.
Oh, I like that show.
Yeah, he was an actor in The Sopranos.
Yeah. I liked Frankie Valli. That's the era I'm from, and
yeah,
you know,
that's
saw them
good
in
stuff.
Person at the Prom Ballroom, the old Prom Ballroom in St. Paul. Saw Little Richard and Jerry Lee
didn't.
Lewis. Oh yeah.
Oh
man.
Man.
Fats Domino. Yeah.
What about B.B. King?
No.
Oh yes, yeah. That was my first concert.
No, my first concert. Oh. Well, I went to the dances. We didn't call them concerts. We went there and danced to these people. It's like you've been at the Northfield Ballroom?
Yeah.
Okay, the Prom Ballroom was maybe a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be on stage just like they are at Northfield Ballroom. And there's Little Richard or Jerry Lee Lewis or the Four Seasons. And it was just fun.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. That's my era. But now we're talking about your era. By the way, nice job on that song.
Well, thank you.
And it is 14 minutes before 11 o'clock. She's sitting here with her guitar in hand. We are going to hear Love Me Tender one more time just as we close the show. And we can go anywhere you want to go right now. Do you have a shout-out that you want to give to somebody?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention my friend Tracy Jenkins is going to be belly dancing when she can, when I play with the layout, my trio. And she is going to be with us Friday. Tomorrow, we're playing here in town. We're closing the Mayfest Festival at the Contented Cow. We go on rather late for people that like to, you know, get in bed early. So it's a better strategy to head for the noon in Faribault the following day. But if you're a late-night person, maybe you want to do both. We're playing 9:30 to 11:30 at the Cow. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. And then we get to go to bed, wake up, and go play at 10,000 Drops.
And,
this is my idea of fun.
And load your equipment, keyboards.
Yeah, but there's not that much. That. It's amazing.
You don't have a roadie?
Oh, no. Heavens.
What?
No, when I toured with Hoyt Axton, we had roadies. And I brought a hat box. Yeah, that was really a hoot. I was... And Hoyt was very annoyed. His son was trailing after me, carrying my suitcases and hat box. And
so he was had a crush on you?
I don't know.
Hoyt Axton, did you open for him or did you
sing
with him?
I was in the band. I sang with him.
Okay.
And then I did the tour and then I recorded on his record. He had a home studio in Lake Tahoe.
Okay. That must have been beautiful.
Yeah, it was
Lake
beautiful.
Yeah. Were you like a backup singer? Is that the title?
Yep, Linda Ronstadt and Nicolette Larson both were backup singers
for
Hoyt.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yep.
Okay, what were some of his big songs?
No, I don't smoke it no more. I tired of waking up on the floor. He wrote that with Ringo Starr. And then Joy to the World. Joy to the world. All the boys and girls, joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea, joy to you and me.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But Hoyt, the reason Hoyt got a jump into the music industry is because his mother was a school teacher in Florida when she wrote Jailhouse Rock and Elvis Presley recorded
really?
It. Yeah, so really it was Maybelle Axton, I believe was her name. Yeah, and so that propelled her into the limelight and some publishing royalties, which they call rock and share money.
Okay, rock and share money.
Rock and
yeah.
share money. That's okay. what you want to make yeah. is some rock and share money.
Well, I remember when I was very involved in the radio station and the music and all that, BMI and ASCAP, you know, it's like the IRS for radio stations. You hate it. But ASCAP just, you know, charged you. BMI had you log every song and publisher that you played in for your shift, blah, blah, blah. And I always would play Marilyn Sellers, And I'd play Johnny Western.
Oh, perfect.
And I'd put them on every day.
Oh.
And just, you know, see if it, I don't know if it helped or not, but I thought.
Of course it does. Sure it does.
So, anyhow, are you under contract, or are you affiliated with ASCAP or BMI? Or
I was in the Musicians Union. I did have something with a publishing company in Nashville, but really, I got such a bad taste in my mouth about the business that I thought, you know, in order to love playing and singing, I just need to let go of the business. I just want to play and sing. That's what I want to do. And so that's what I do.
Did you make a living?
Yeah.
In your lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
Being a mm-hmm. musician, a singer?
Yes.
Was it a comfortable living, or was it hand to mouth, or like they say, what are those noodles college kids eat?
Ramen.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it wasn't high on the hog. But when you're doing what you love, you know, you're fed in a different way. You know, it's not many people that can do what they love to do.
Well, I'm glad that you're saying that, because it's exactly what I ended up doing in my lifetime. And I made $65 a week and put in 65 hours, I'm sure, when I first started. And when I first came to Northfield, I was getting $135 a week. You know, not big time, but I loved what I was doing.
Yeah, but listen to your radio voice. It's just fabulous.
Well, it's I like the business of radio. I mean, sure, you know, I was a rock and roll disc jockey. I was a TV weatherman. But the business
of
being...
You got the pipes.
Why, thank you. But being in business and the fellow businessmen and women within the community, that's the fun part of the whole thing is
yeah, social,
living a life.
Right.
Living a life.
Yeah.
So you're doing that right now.
I'm so happy.
Okay. We do want to continue our conversation. You just got that 1 year out of Dallas, Texas. Was it a renowned music school? Or
no,
said they had a good music program.
Yeah,
you
they
heard
did.
About it.
They did. And I have a funny story.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Okay. So remember my mom didn't want me to play the alto saxophone. So... In the back of my mind, like, I'm going to play the alto saxophone. And that's that. I've just got to play that. And then I'm hearing these songs, or these popular songs coming out, like James Taylor and Bruce Springsteen and a variety of different singer-songwriters have saxophone in there. I'm like, who's playing that saxophone? That's David Sanborn. Oh, my gosh. Wow, what a tone. So I find this lady in town... who has an attic, and in her attic is an old alto saxophone that her son left when he went off to war. Mm. And so she said, well, why don't you take it? And I said, well, what do you want me to pay you for? And she said, I don't want you to pay me for it. Just take it. It's just sitting there. And so I took it off to college, and I signed up for private saxophone lessons. You know,
yeah.
In the music department. So I march up to the door, and I knock on the door. It's time for my lesson. This very vertically challenged man opens the door. He's cross-eyed. He sees me, this blonde, hair down to my waist, holding a saxophone. I say, I'm here for my lesson. And he says, okay, well, put your horn together. And I said, I don't know how. He said, what? I said, I have no idea. I've never blown a note. You know, so I'm taking piano at the same time, which, you know, is different. And I'm taking voice and I'm taking sight singing and music theory. And but he was like, okay, well, this is how you put it together. And he finds me a reed and he tries. He says, okay, here's how you blow a note. And I try to blow a note. It won't play. And so he picks it up, puts his mouthpiece on there. It won't play because it's broken.
Oh.
So he hands me, he goes to his closet, he takes out an alto saxophone. He says, well, here, you borrow this one with your mouthpiece, go get yours fixed, and here's what you do. And so I started playing. And to this day, I'm quite sure that the reason I love playing alto saxophone is because I treated it like my fun instrument. I'm going to have fun on this instrument. I'm not going to pay attention to notes. Because I didn't grow up playing in band, and I grew up playing with guitars, I play in guitar keys, which makes me a really weird horn player. So, and I learned, you know, some of these solos that David Sanborn was playing, and I learned games people play, Joe South on the Duane Anthology album, you know, some, and just the two of us, Grover Washington, you know, those are all saxophone songs. And the funny part, is one day there were finals going on. It was the end of the semester. I'm playing my saxophone and I'm getting better. I like, you know, I can play for about 10 or 15 minutes in my little practice room without passing out, because I did get pretty close to fainting a few times. There's limited air circulating in those little practice rooms. And all you can do when you first start playing the saxophone is play loud. That's it. You can't play soft. It's just loud is the only option. And so at one point, I had a knock on the door. And I open the door, and I'm this sweaty girl in a t-shirt holding a horn, and there's this very tall, thin, spectacled flautist standing there. And he says, he purses his lips, and he says, "Could you please play mezzo forte or less?" And storms off.
Did you know what he was talking about?
Yeah, I'd cleared out the practice halls once again, is what had happened.
You know, in my era, saxophones were just part of it. Like, you take Wild Bill Haley and Rock Around the Clock. I mean, as a kid, I loved the drum solos, and I loved the saxophone solos.
Yeah.
And, you know,
The expression of the saxophone is just
amazing. That's why I wish I could find a robustic on this thing so you could hear him and give your own opinion. I have to take a final break before we get to Love Me Tender, which is a song she's going to sing again. She sang it first hour. We'll be right back.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today. Spring is finally here and summer won't be far behind. We all know this means road trips and road construction. The crew at Witt Brothers Service in Northfield would like to remind everyone that they are going to be open during construction while both 7th and Division Streets surrounding Witt Brothers is repaired. Please call 507-645-7242 to set up your appointment, and they will let you know what driveway will be open for you to use. Don't forget, it is best to have your vehicle checked out before you head out of town on your road trip for a worry-free vacation.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old, inefficient system's imminent demise.
So costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat. Its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
This is Andy Straits with Straits 72 Degrees, your local third-generation business. Call me at 645-4040 or straitsheating.com.
KYMN Radio, the Wayne Eddy Affair, coming to a conclusion. But before we go, we're not only going to hear a song by Laurie Williams, but Laurie, let's remind folks where Layout, that's your new band.
Yep, the Layout.
Tell me where the Layout will be this weekend.
Well, tomorrow night we'll be at the Contented Cow. We're closing the Mayfest music festival there that starts late in the day. We're last on, so 9:30 to 11:30. And then Saturday, I'm very excited about this new place in Faribault called 10,000 Drops. We'll be celebrating Dave Vistendahl's 40 years in law practice and 70th birthday.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great weekend and a lot of fun. Dave will be my guest tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Right. Okay.
And Laurie, I'd like to invite you to come back.
Thank you, Wayne.
And we'll pick up from Dallas.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm sure you got a million stories, and it's always fun to hear stories, and also very fun to hear you sing. And by request, you are going to repeat a song you played the first hour and sang, a song by Elvis Presley called Love Me Tender, and it's beautiful. We'll close off with Lori Williams on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true. All my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me long, take me to your heart. For it's there that I belong, and we'll never part. Love me tender, love me true. All my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will.
Lori Williams on KYMN Radio, Northfield, Minnesota. It's 11 o'clock.
Hi, I'm Terry Knight. Join me weekday mornings at 6:23 for Garden Bite, where I deliver nibbles of knowledge on all things in the garden, right here on your radio station, KYMN, AM 1080, and now FM 95.1, or streaming on kymnradio.net.
If I'm gonna go down, I'm gonna go.